Welcome to another episode of Navigating Dyslexia with Doreen. Today we'll be discussing the dyslexia label. I would like to understand if we use the dyslexia label, if we do not use the dyslexia label, why we use it, at what point we use it, at what point do we not use it. So let's dig in. So the dyslexia label is pretty simple. Like, when you, how often do you tell that you are dyslexic? At what point do you tell that you're dyslexic? Why do you tell that you're dyslexic? Could it be when, you know, you're required to do an activity that you have difficulties doing? Do you just say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do this, I'm dyslexic? Or, you know, do you even meet someone for the first time and introduce yourself? Hey, my name is Doreen, I have dyslexia. Do you always, is dyslexia something that you always, you know, bring into your conversation? Is dyslexia something that you're comfortable with admitting, you know, when you meet people? And can you just really admit that, you know, hi, you know, is this something that you just, hey, hi, I'm dyslexic and stuff? I like to understand that how much we use the dyslexia label is tied to our understanding of what dyslexia is. So first and foremost, you have to come to the terms, you know, some people are still in denial that they have dyslexia. So dyslexia is something that you pretty much like to hide, you know, deep down, and they do not, you know, tell anybody about. And I think that living in denial with dyslexia, I honestly understand that it is a process. It's a lot to take in. You don't wake up one morning, get the dyslexia diagnosis, hey, hi, you're dyslexic, and then you accept it. It's a whole lot of brain reengineering, you know, re-understanding, you know, the image that you're looking at in the mirror. Okay, so this is me. It's a new thing. It's a new thing to process. It's a new thing to understand. And nobody expects that you're diagnosed with dyslexia, and then you just, you know, oh, I'm just, you know, it's not like, it takes a process, and everybody's process is different. However, I know that our understanding of the word dyslexia or the term dyslexia can have like an effect in how much we accept the diagnosis, if we choose to live in denial, amongst other things. So what is our understanding of dyslexia in the first place? To me, I see dyslexia as like an exclusive club of amazing people. It helps that I have the records of dyslexia role models who I see that they have this similar characteristic. They are different in their unique ways. Nobody experienced dyslexia the same way. But I dare say that common characteristics that dyslexics share are the spirit of resilience. It was no surprise to me when I discovered that Kobe Bryant is dyslexic. And look, I first came to really know who he was after his unfortunate demise. May God rest his soul. But, you know, I first came to discover who he was, and before I even knew it was dyslexic, I went through his career, you know, his life. And what drew me to him was the fact that he was someone that, he was a great man. He was someone that, you know, he liked to push for more. You know, he liked to push for more. He liked to, you know, push himself beyond reason. And that's resilience. That's resilience. And a characteristic that most dyslexics share. I've seen other great dyslexics who have, you know, come up to become amazing things in life. And that's because I think it's characterized with how much you've been told that you're a failure. And you, like, when you didn't even know you were dyslexic, the self-image you have of yourself, the old, you know, people telling you you're dumb, people telling you you're stupid, and then you finally get the diagnosis, oh, it's dyslexia, and it helps you to really understand, okay, so this is why I couldn't do this, or this is why I couldn't do that. It helps you to, you know, wrap your head around the things that happened in the past. But then it's also very, you know, there's a responsibility you have to take. Whatever you do from that point on is on you, as far as I'm concerned. So most people they've had their down moment, they've had their moment of weaknesses, they've had their moment of failure where, you know, they're used to constantly failing, and then they understand the reason why they do fail, and they make a decision within themselves that nothing is ever going to stop me anymore. I think that's common amongst dyslexics I've met, dyslexics I've read about. They're used to failing so much that they come to a decision that nothing is ever going to bring me to this point anymore. I personally, I don't know if it's a good thing. I don't know if it's something that I need to work on, but I have this obsessive nature to be better at anything that I want to do, which sounds like a good thing to me, because I've been used to failing at this, failing at that. That I'm no longer scared of failure, by the way. You know, failure is not something that when I see or when I think about, it scares me. I know that if I do not put in the work, sometimes you even put in the work and you fail. And in that area, I understand that, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. But I am too obsessed with the fact that, I don't even think obsession is the word, but I'm too determined to never have people tell me again that I am a failure. Because it was something I grew up, you know, listening to, and it's something that I've devoted my life and career and whatever it is that come in contact with me, I've devoted all that to ensure that nobody ever gets to tell me, like, doing, you're a failure. And it's the characteristics most dyslexics share. So you see them in areas where they're not good at, they put in 10 times more effort to be better at it. In, you know, all of those things, which to me is an amazing thing. So while, you know, some dyslexics are good at writing, while some dyslexics are good at art expressions, so many other things, what is most common is the spirit of resilience, which I know that came from the constant failing, you know, constant feeling like you're not enough, constant struggling in a space and not understanding why you do. And then that ability for you to try to cope in those situations, because most dyslexics, even without knowing their dyslexia diagnosis, they've all developed some sort of survival tactics to help them, you know, cope with extreme or, you know, difficult situations. And I think that characteristics is gold. I think that it is something that every dyslexic should be proud about. First, what is even dyslexia? You know, dyslexia is a neurological difference that affects auditory processing and verbal reasoning. Dyslexia is characterized by trouble learning, you know, learning to read, comprehension, phonological awareness, amongst other things. Commonly, you know, dyslexia can be, there are different ways to experience dyslexia, but most common dyslexia symptoms are, you know, and again too, I was talking to someone recently, and she's an adult. She thinks that she might be dyslexic. She's not, you know, done at a formal assessment. And another person was, you know, letting her know that you don't have issues spelling. Right now, I have dyslexia, and I didn't know that I was dyslexic until, you know, I was older. And over time, I have found a way to learn how to spell. I still struggle with very difficult words, but I try to attribute my ability to spell to the fact that I'm familiar with certain things. So I see these words over and over and over and over again. And, you know, they call it this every time I say it. And now my brain has learned to associate the meaning to the word. It's almost like a pictorial thing. So, and I also learn words also actually when I can, you know, put an image to what that spelling is. So in an adult dyslexic person, spelling test might not exactly tell for dyslexia, except you're spelling certain words or spelling words that they're unfamiliar with. So I can see a new word and I try to pronounce it by breaking it into, you know, different syllables based on the things that I'm familiar with to help me pronounce it. So these are the things I struggle with, but I don't struggle with the basic spelling BAD BAG bad, you know, amongst other things. So I still think that there are so many misconceptions on dyslexia that we need to clarify, but you know, I hope that as we go on we can sort that out. So dyslexia, the different dyslexia characteristics, but the often challenges dyslexics have is, you know, struggling to comprehend, reading something and not being able to understand what they're reading because, you know, they're not processing it. Dyslexics think in mental pictures. I don't want to even go into the old details of dyslexia diagnoses or the symptoms until the next episode, because this episode is really on dyslexia labor. So I know that whatever dyslexia means to you is determinant of whether or not you're going to use your dyslexia labor. There's so many misconceptions of dyslexia about the fact that, you know, once you even Google the word dyslexia, it comes up, dyslexia is a neurological disorder. So, you know, quick first thinking, maybe you have a disorder in your brain. But you need to even dive deeper into, you know, such research to understand really what it means. Because I know how accepting or internalizing the fact that, you know, internalizing the word neurological disorder, I know how that can mean to you. I know how it can make you feel. I know how it can make you scared. I know how it can make you, you know, draw back. And I know how it can make you not even want to accept the diagnosis. But I feel like you need to understand dyslexia more. And your own understanding of it is going to actually go a long way in not just the labor, in your self-image and the decisions that you make going forward being a dyslexic person. So this is me encouraging you. While we'll have another episode discussing dyslexia in full, that should be the next episode, by the way. I would have another episode discussing dyslexia in full. You know, you need to do your own personal research and understand it and, you know, internalize the entire thing. Major misconception about the dyslexia label is the fact that dyslexia is a lazy bird, and I like to tell everybody that dyslexia is not a lazy bird. I get why parents, especially in the Nigerian culture, can be very resistant to accepting the dyslexia diagnosis on their children. No parent wants to think that their children are disabled or won't be able to do, you know, certain things. Parents are overprotective like that. They don't want to think that, you know, their child would have dysfunctions in doing certain things. Every child wants a well-rounded, normal, in quotes, child. And while they also need to do more research and understand that the fact that your child is dyslexic does not mean they're no longer well-rounded or they're not normal. And normal is already dead to me, by the way. The point is, most parents, you know, they're resistant or they're reluctant to using the badge or accepting the badge on their child. Also because they feel that this same issue, this same misconception about dyslexia being a dysfunction of the brain. Dyslexia is not any dysfunction in your brain. There's nothing wrong with your brain. You're not, you know, there's no brain damage, and it's not associated with IQ. Most dyslexics over the years have been found to have average to high IQ. So it has nothing to do with your IQ. It's not even going to limit what you're going to be in life, except you let it. Yes, I'm saying that for a fact, except you let it. So you're going to have to understand your dyslexia diagnosis, understand what dyslexia means for you to help you accept your dyslexia diagnosis, and then discover and figure out how you want to move on from there. So dyslexia is not a lazy badge. It's not a badge where, okay, so it's not even an escape for not doing activities, or maybe you're required to do something in class. I'm like, oh, I am sorry, I'm dyslexic. or you're required to, you know, do a work at your workplace. And like, I am dyslexic. So this is why we even need to understand and draw a line for when you need to self-advocate that you're dyslexic, or because it is, you know, it is, you just need to survive in that situation, and when you shouldn't use your dyslexia as an excuse to not do certain things. I tell every dyslexic person that I've met, and I try to apply it by myself, is dyslexia is not reasons for you to not do things. As a matter of fact, if you're dyslexic, because the society and the system is not exactly dyslexia friendly, you have to, within yourself, do the work. So when your non-dyslexic friends are taking step one or step one and two, you need to make up your mind to take step one, two, three, four, five for you to be able to internalize the same knowledge that you're internalizing. For instance, I'm at university, I'm a psychology student, and when it comes to, you know, internalizing research work or a paper or a course, most people, you know, read it immediately, and, you know, and they're fast readers. For one, I read very slowly. Like, I will spend hours and hours reading the same thing. The other person is done reading. And apart from spending hours and hours and the time it takes for me to even read the theory of that literature, I also sometimes usually have to, you know, watch videos of it to help me understand, or look for audio notes of it to, you know, listen to help me understand. So look at, compare that other person has read the literature and they grab it. I'm still struggling to read the literature, and then I'm looking for other resources to help me support my knowledge of the literature and help me understand it eventually. So if you're dyslexic, it's not an excuse, it's not some reasons why you should, you know, not push yourself any further. You should even be ready to do more than every other person is doing to level the playground. It is unfortunate, it is unfair. To me, it feels unfair sometimes, because we both have the same time, and sometimes even in the structured environment, the time is not enough for you to process things in your own dyslexia way. So that's why this giving extra time to a dyslexic person is such a gift. So if you're in the workplace, for instance, so you're supposed to write an email, you struggle with writing, you struggle with putting your knowledge to words, and you're given a deadline of, you're required, so you're in a team, you're required to write. Do I advise people in the workplace to use dyslexic strengths, like make use of dyslexics in their area of strength, than try to, you know, make use of them in their area of weaknesses? But I don't think you can ever survive in any workplace without ever having to write an email. So again, it's not, it will take you quite a while to probably first, I don't know the process that you use to write emails. Sometimes I have to do research first. Sometimes I have to record myself saying the things I would like to write. Then I listen to myself and do a transcription. So the different processes for everybody. So dyslexia is not a lazy badge. So I think that those are is why most parents are reluctant, by the way. And the society, there's also the stigma. They feel that dyslexia is just what some people use as an excuse to not do certain things. But it's your job as a dyslexic person to change the narrative by also putting in the work. The era of dyslexics settling for mediocre career path is over. It is our hope that dyslexics can do whatever it is they choose to do and survive in any area or any discipline that they choose, as long as it's something that they want to do. So if you're dyslexic, you need to make up your mind to put in the extra work by first even understanding what dyslexia is, internalizing the meaning, and understanding, you know, knowing that it doesn't reduce your self-worth. I personally do not see dyslexia as a disorder. But I would like you to do your research so that I do not, you know, influence your research based on what I've internalized for my own learning process. So do your research, and in the next episode, I would elaborate on what you've done. And if you have any other questions, you can ask me. So all that said, at what point do you use your dyslexia label? Would you even write in, like, when you're writing your CV or when you're filling applications for something? I know that they have this space where they usually ask for disability. Do you tick yes, dyslexia, or none? Personally, I don't like to fail dyslexia under disability as much as possible. If I'm going to fail an application like that, I look for someone to squeeze in dyslexia into my intro, because I'm not accepting that I have a disability, because I do not have a disability. So do you use your dyslexia label? At what point do you use your dyslexia label? For me personally, despite the fact that I have such great knowledge of dyslexia, that's putting it too high, but I have quite a good, you know, amount of knowledge of dyslexia, and I've come to accept myself for who I am and accept the things I cannot change and just try to build up on the things that I know and I can control. I personally do not use my dyslexia label all the time, but there are certain times where I feel the need to advocate for myself. So for instance, I'm given a short time to internalize the literature and I'll be tested for it. And the time is short. And, you know, I'm using all the time I have, but it's still taking me a while. I would advocate, sir or ma'am, I'm sorry, I need extra time. I have dyslexia and I need to actually study this to pass. But great thing about this is, hardly ever will I, you know, ask for such accommodations. So lecturers around me have learned that anytime I request for it, I really do need it. There's certain times too where, you know, you're in a classroom that is not dyslexia friendly and they're pouring so much words at you, so much knowledge at you, not in the way your brain understands it. So it's like pouring and then go lost, and you know, it's just cumbersome, it's overwhelming. Sometimes you need to take a walk, sometimes you need to actually excuse yourself. Personally, it gives me anxiety attacks when I'm in such space. It's just like someone is throwing words at me and I don't understand what's going on, like in my face, and I start to get anxious, and I usually require to, you know, want to take a walk. But I don't use it when, you know, I'm supposed to do an activity. You know, I try as much as possible to just do what I can, because the situation of on ground even is the fact that the society is not dyslexia friendly, the system is not dyslexia friendly. So if you say that you cannot do certain jobs because you're dyslexic, someone else will do the job. So you need to up your game. You need to just help yourself. Find areas that, you know, you're good at. Understand the areas where you're not good at and see how you can help it to complement each other. Somebody was asking a question. Would you, you know, include dyslexia into your CV? Honestly, I do not see anything wrong in being proud of your dyslexia label, but I would advise, or I'm of the opinion that you shouldn't, because the society still has a very little knowledge of dyslexia. And while neurodiversity is a plus to any corporate job, to any company, to any field at all, while, you know, employing people who are diverse, neurologically diverse is good, it's great, it's a plus for them. not all of these employers understand it, and we wouldn't want dyslexia to be the reason why you didn't get a job that you're very well qualified for. So the society has such a minimal knowledge of dyslexia already. So you might be some advocates that, you know, you want to tell it, but, you know, maybe get the job first, and while they've gotten to know you, while they're seeing how important you are and, you know, how indispensable you are, then let them know that, okay, so I'm dyslexic and I need this sort of work environment. But I personally feel that putting it in your CV might deny you the opportunity of getting such a great job, because society still has such minimal knowledge of what dyslexia means. So that will be all on the dyslexia label. Let me know if you have any questions and you have any other thing you would like me to clarify. Sometimes I get, you know, I just feel like, you know, being dyslexic, there's such, and it's so amazing to actually, like, what's more amazing about having dyslexia is the fact that now there's a community of others that have dyslexia. So it's so great to have people share the same things with you. It's so great to have people, you know, admit that, okay, yes, this happens to me too. It's such a relief, and it also makes the entire dyslexia journey more enjoyable. So sometimes I meet someone for the first time, and I actually am so excited. I'm like, hey, Dorian, I'm dyslexic. It's become something that I'm conscious about, and it's become something that I am not ashamed to admit, because I understand that I know of for a fact that my dyslexia isn't going to stop me from doing whatever it is that I want to do. I've learned to draw up a structure, you know, create a system that supports my dyslexia and doesn't stifle who I want to become in life. So I think that, you know, undergoing that process would help your own understanding of your own self-image. It would change your understanding of your self-image and also propel you towards greatness. Enjoy. Thank you very much, and have an awesome week.